life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Okay, thanks for listening. Brian Smith and Anthony Askew here on episode 166 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. And joining us today, for the last time you'll hear this type of introduction, it's Bradley. And he's here to discuss the upcoming winter season. Next year, new introduction. Got tired of saying the same things.
I thought that was your way of saying,
yeah. No, not pulling the plug. I'm just changing the way we introduce things next time.
Oh, it's good to be back.
Yes, such a long time since we saw you, Bradley. It's been a week.
I forgot what you sound like.
Anyway, on to our regular feature, which we won't do again next episode. We do one of these for reasons which will become clear later, and that is the prediction game, where we look at the UK anime releases and try and guess whether they'll come out on time. And last time we picked, well, I picked the following and we made various guesses. So the first one is Berserk Movie 3 from manga. Bradley said it would come out on time, and it did. So that's a point to Bradley.
Woo!
Patima Inverted from Anime Limited. I said it would come out a month late, and it came out a month late. So I get a point this time. And Samurai Champloo Collection from MVM. I said it would come out 2 weeks late. It came out 2 weeks late. Bang on, I'm currently winning. I'm doing much better than last time. Dragon Ball Z Battle of Gods from manga. Bradley said it would come out on time, and it did. So as we're fastly learning that manga do a much better job of bringing their Blu-rays out on time. So we're currently drawing. Anthony is way, way back. Space Dandy from Anime Limited, Volume 1. Anthony said it would come out on time, and it did.
Mm-hmm.
Kill la Kill, Volume 1 from Anime Limited. I said it would come out on time. And it sort of did. It's out anyway, and I was closer than everybody else. It came out early. They had it at the MCM Expo. Mm-hmm. And then it turned out from people who bought it at the MCM Expo, there was a problem with one of the discs, maybe. There was some sort of problem with the release. And so they'd previously brought the release date back, and they put it forward a bit, but not as far forward as they originally had it. So I think it came out either 2 weeks early or 1 week early. And finally, Watamote Collection from MVM. And Bradley said it would come out on time. And as we were recording it, it still hasn't come out, but it doesn't seem to have changed date on the BVA website or on Amazon. So we'll give Bradley the point there.
Oh.
Sorry, Anthony. Sorry.
I wanted something. We'll
retroactively give you a point next time if it turns out it is late.
Brilliant.
Because I said it was going to come out a week early. If I'd said that for Kill la Kill, I'd have been even more accurate. But there you go. So I and Bradley drew.
Well done.
And as the post-Christmas DVD release schedule for the UK, for everything, is a pretty much dead zone, there'll be no new game this time. The only thing.
Why?
Because everyone takes their holidays in the video industry. Well, I don't think that's the reason, but everyone does from my experience when I was working in the video industry. If we could put our feet up. In fact, you can put your feet up from about November onwards through to February. And, just people don't buy things. Same with the cinema. You dump all the crappy films first week of January.
Mm-hmm.
So never go and watch a new film which comes out the first week of January, because it will be shit.
Like The Gambler with Mark Wahlberg.
Is that coming out?
It is, because it was advertised on a stream I was watching last night. I was like, about to come out on Christmas Day. Who goes to the cinema on Christmas Day?
Well, I think it's bigger. I think it's bigger in America than it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right. Yes. Okay.
Yes. Mm. Big tradition in America. Go to the movies on Christmas Day. Yeah.
Oh.
Not a tradition here.
Not at all.
In fact, you'd be a weirdo if you did.
Yes. Just sit and chill out. Eat your Christmas dinner.
You'd be told off by your parents, I think, if you made that suggestion.
Oh God! Be laughed out of the house. Laughed out of the family.
So, they must ask the question, how went the autumn? How went the shows we said we were going to watch? Did we watch them? What did we think of them? Did we stick with them? Let's find out as we go in almost alphabetical order through the shows we picked. And then some we didn't pick, but we watched anyway at the end. So let's start off with Tenchi Muyo. I watched this. Anthony watched this. Did you watch this, Bradley?
No. Skipped it.
It is insane. I watched the first few episodes, and it made me question just how fetishy the original was.
Not this.
It's got so much bondage in this show. And the fact that they got promotion money, it's supposed to promote tourism to the area which it takes place.
Is it?
It is, yes. And I'm like, did they ask what sort of show they were making? What sort of tourists they want coming to this country?
The wrong people.
Wow.
God.
So, insane in a good way, does it compare favorably to, say, Milky Homes in that kind of insane, or...?
It's shorter than Milky Homes, so it's better, so it's got that over. It's only, 5-minute episodes. And it seems to be a sequel, at least from the few episodes. Basically, Tenchi from the original is apparently a student teacher now, and he's gone to this all-girls school where they are going to tie him up and experiment on him.
That actually does make it sound good. See, I never liked Tenchi Muyo. I always thought it was very overrated and probably got off too much on novelty for what counted as novel at the time. So I skipped this one. Didn't think there would be anything to it. Glad to hear otherwise.
Anthony, what do you think?
Well, I put it on. I was like, well, this isn't the Tenchi Muyo that I grew up to love as a kid. And then I realized it was only 5 minutes long. I was like, yeah, we'll have another episode. Yeah, we'll chuck another one on. And before I knew it, I didn't have a big chunk through it. I was kind of enjoying it. And I thought, you know what? What am I doing sitting here? This is too bizarre. This is too weird. The bit where they strap him up and they threaten to... Well, they strip him down and they've got, knives pointed at his genitalia and... I don't know. It's just a bit... It's too little like Tenchi for me to watch.
But yeah, when you know that they got tourism money, that is also running through your mind as well. It makes it even more bizarre. But yeah, but then I remembered in Tenchi, there's in the original OAV series, Washu does tie him up and take a semen sample from him, which makes me think maybe I need to go back and watch that first series, and it's not so far off from what the first series was like.
I don't want to do that now.
Well, maybe we'll have to do it next year as an episode.
That could be good, actually, yeah.
Next on the list, we have Aikatsu. Is that how you pronounce it? 3?
Mm-hmm. Aikatsu 3. I didn't watch any of this. Aikatsu is pretty high on my list of things I need to watch. It's a huge hit in Japan. Probably should have talked about it more at the end of the year review because it felt like it was also pretty big this year. They have started a new generation of idols, which seems like a good time to get in. But I just didn't find the time. There was a lot that I watched this season. My gosh.
And I didn't watch it. In fact, I'm barely aware of what it is.
I had no idea.
next up on the list was Amagi Brilliant Park, which I think was a Bradley pick. It certainly wouldn't have been a me pick. So, Bradley, do you want to say what you thought of it? And then
I'll lead into this. Okay. I liked it, but I have mixed feelings about it in some respects. It's a colorful show. It's got a cool idea that almost feels like a video game idea behind it. What bothers me is that the main character in this series, whose name I can't remember, is kind of a condescending dick. And it's played off as laughs. Like, he's the straight man having to deal with a bunch of crazy women and crazy mascot-like characters. And that's kind of gross. That's a thing that is happening frequently with light novel adaptations. It's a trend I really don't like, and it's a pretty common element here. That said, I would like to finish this series eventually.
Yeah, I watched the first episode, and it opens on a really great gag, which I won't spoil. And I think the concept of the show is good, that there's this magical kingdom that needs to survive by feeding off the joy of human beings coming to their theme park, which is what their magical kingdom appears to humans to look like. But there is, as you say, loads of light novel stuff that just gets in the way of that good idea. And I'd also add the character design is a bit just there. They kind of stuck with whatever crappy character design were on the covers of the books, I imagine. And you get conversations which go on too long. the personalities of characters are just sort of like, oh, this is what light novel readers expect characters to behave like, so therefore we need to insert all these personalities into the story. And also I noticed whenever there was a serious talking scene in the first episode, you got this terrible plinkety-plonk piano music to let you know that this isn't the joke part. But the joke parts are really funny, like the little... the guy who looks like the Full Metal Panic mascot character and gets angry when he's called a copyright infringement character.
Did you know that the light novel is written by the same person who wrote Full Metal Panic?
Yes. I was wondering whether they took place in the same world, or maybe Full Metal Panic is a light novel in this world. Maybe that's why he was saying... I'm not sure whether they...
Oh, I like that joke. I prefer the latter interpretation.
Yeah. And they also made me think this would be a good idea for an episode of another show where you just dealt with one science fiction idea every one or two episodes, rather than having to drag out an entire book series and then an entire anime series and probably a sequel anime series if this was popular.
I don't know. I like that it's given space to kind of expand on this idea. It's just that I'm not certain it's going to be able to make good use of that space. And a lot more of it is probably going to come down to not liking the characters than not liking the plot.
But yeah, I can see a Space Dandy episode where they go to a theme park, which is actually a Magic Kingdom, or a Doctor Who episode, or something where you get that anthology thing happening. Okay, next up is Chaika. And I, like a fool, decided, oh, someone picked this, I'll watch the first episode of this current season.
Oh my gosh.
And I was completely lost.
Oh, Brian. Yeah, there's a big driving storyline throughout Chaika, and if you just jump straight to the second season, of course you'd be entirely lost. Yeah,
I was hoping they might like fill you in, but maybe they just weren't expecting any new viewers. Which may be why, as you mentioned on the previous episode, maybe that's why it's not doing so well. Because they're not helping out the new viewer each time.
It's possible. I don't know. It's just a split core adaptation, really. Yeah, everything I said about the first season applies to the second season. And I quite liked it then. I still like it now. I haven't heard good things about the ending, but oh well.
I mean, this is on my list to watch as well. Once I finish season two, that is. Because I'll completely owe this one to Bradley. It says Bradley was like, yeah, you should watch this, you should watch it. I did.
I
like it. It's a good show. And if it's on par or just, you know, carries on from the first series, fine. I'll probably enjoy this as well.
Yeah, I like the idea. I'm not keen on the visual elements. And despite what Bradley said on the previous episode about the maid outfit that Chaika wears, my actual problem is with those two sidekicks. They are just so bland looking.
They are, yeah.
They are just like, their visual personality is zero.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next up is Cross Ange. Was I the only one who watched this? Was I the only one who watched two episodes of this?
I think you're the only one ever in the world.
So this is a women in prison exploitation show disguised as a cute girls piloting robots show, at least from the first two episodes. It may have gone even wilder direction since then. And it knows exactly what it's doing. There were people horrified by the first episode on Twitter, like queuing up to be horrified by it.
Yes.
Some people, so there's people on Twitter going, oh, this is appalling. And then everyone goes, someone said something's appalling, I better check that out so I can be appalled too.
right.
It was so obnoxious.
But it knows exactly what it's doing, and it's just the question of whether it should be doing it or not. You can argue, but yeah, it is what it is. It's what I said, it's a women in prison show with giant robots and dragons. Let's move on. I am tempted to go back because someone did mention on Twitter that apparently there's flashbacks. I don't know whether this is true or just a joke. I'm hoping it's true. It could easily be true in this show. There's apparently past life flashbacks to characters who are based on other shows by that producer.
Oh.
So
I mean, for what it's worth, I have heard that this series, even people who didn't like the first few episodes, have started to really like whatever it's currently doing. So
I should say the thing which turned me off is it's is more the nihilism of elements of it than the the stuff which was turning other people off. The stuff which is just the women in prison stuff is, well, it's like that's the genre. You expect that coming in once you know what it is. But yeah, the sort of, oh, here's a cute girl, let's go through the entire episode introducing her so we can blow her head off in the end of the second episode.
Spoilers.
Laughing Under the Clouds. I think Bradley was the only one who watched this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dogo Kobo, who is a studio I talk about frequently on these previews and reviews, I've really liked just about everything they've done. This is probably the first one that left me totally cold. It's a basically medieval Japan yaoi cartoon that's really bland, kind of boring, and has the whole sibling incest subtext in it additionally. And I just, it did absolutely nothing for me. I'm not the audience for this, and what I would be interested in, such as the action, or maybe exploring more about the prison that they're guarding, the first episode just didn't really do much with. So I skipped it.
Yeah, I was trying to check out the first episodes of any picks we made, which were in the top 10 on Crunchyroll, and that wasn't, so I didn't check any of that out. What was, though, was Fate Stay Night Unlimited Blade Works. And despite my knowing that I would not like it, I tried to watch the first episode. And I was so bored. So boring.
You're missing out. It's a really solid adaptation. I've always said that the biggest weakness of Fate Zero, which is a cartoon I really like, but its biggest weakness is that it's the prequel to a very weak anime adaptation. And following up such a good series with that was always kind of a shame. So it feels like with UFO Table going back to the Fate Stay Night well and doing a really solid adaptation of Unlimited Blade Works, not only fixes my one big problem with Fate Zero, it also is just a highly entertaining series in its own right. I think it does justice by the concept.
But yeah, if you don't like the character designs, which is my main problem, that's a big hurdle for me to get over on any show.
I really like the character designs. Really?
I've seen some clips from this, and the animation for the action is nice. Is it just really slow to get to that, or...?
It does start off slowly. I think it builds very well, personally. I think that was an excellent first episode, which was technically episode zero. Look, that school and the characters in it, they're going to lose a lot by the end of this storyline. It is nice to have established what exactly is lost so that we, the audience, are invested in it in the first place.
Okay, next on the list is Garrow the Animation. And I think I'd watched everything up to the end of the opening credits on the first episode. And for some reason, I think the opening credits were so good that I thought, it can't get any better than this. So I stopped watching it at that point. And then,
what?
This is a problem I have with things. When I watch a show and I hit a point where I think, oh, it can't get any better than that, I stop watching it. So the Twister episode of Honey and Clover, I've never watched anything past that. I was like,
oh my God.
That's as good as it's going to get. Let's stop here.
What the hell? All right, so audience.
But I have watched the first episode now, though. And at which point I was like, oh boy, I should have been watching this. Now, to be fair, it's not on Crunchyroll. It's a Funimation show. So I've got to either pirate it or watch it a week behind on Hulu with all those terrible adverts. Ew. So that is my excuse for it's not as easy to watch it as, say, a Parasite is.
Mm.
And there's a lot of fantasy shows this season, and watching the first episode, it's the bloodiest and it's the nastiest.
Why isn't this on my list? It looks really good.
It feels sort of
on Twitter, you need to watch this.
Grimy and medieval. So if you like Berserk, I think it's the thing to watch. Mm-hmm. And the CG is better than the Berserk films because it's used more sparingly, let's say. You're not getting thousands of soldiers all moving in unison. But Bradley, you watched more, so tell the audience what you thought.
It's a great show. It's a good tokusatsu cartoon. Brian, I need somebody to co-host a review of the entire series with me sometime soon. So if you're interested in that, there's extra incentive to finish the series, which is just, if you like tokusatsu shows, it does a really good job with exactly the same elements set in a pretty convincing, brutal, medieval setting. It's good.
And it's quite like the live action in that there is gratuitous tits.
Yes, there's plenty of that. And women get the short end of just about every stick, except for one. There's a badass alchemist woman.
There's always one badass woman in the shows as well, as far as
yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So it's not doing anything that's really new or original, but it just does what it does really well, and it's a fun watch.
Okay, next up was Gugure Kokori-san. I watched the first episode of this. It was funny, but unfortunately there is a more funny show about yokai that I needed to watch.
If you stop after watching the first episode, you'll feel great, because all the episodes after that are increasingly terrible. It leans heavily on obvious pedophile jokes, especially in like episodes 3 or 4.
Was that
and
obvious?
It's just kind of gross and wrong.
Now, what sort of repetitive pedophile jokes are they in the Venture Brothers standard of repetitive pedophile jokes? Are they the guy who isn't a pedophile who keeps on getting mistaken for a pedophile, or the guy who is a pedophile but is trying not to be a pedophile? Or is that other
It is a
jokes?
Guy who is a pedophile and doesn't hide that he's basically okay. a pedophile. There's a new character who's added. He's the dog that you see in parts of the first episode. Total creep, and a lot of the jokes in episodes 3 and 4 are basically, ha! Isn't this guy such a creep? Oh, my lord.
Okie doke. Next up is Gundam Build Fighters Try, of which I also watched episode 1 of this. I really liked the silly stacking doll robot payoff, and I've had no more time to watch any more of it.
It's
Bradley,
great.
Take it away.
Yeah, I think it's even better than the first season so far. There's a much better sense of what kind of series they want this to be, and they've also expanded the teams so that they're actually teams instead of just solo people fighting, and that adds a new dynamic to both the main characters and the other Gundam teams that they're fighting. That's interesting and fun to watch. And additionally, it just has some of the best robots and robot fighting that I've seen since the first season. Still, it's a great series, and I like it better than the proper Gundam series that's airing right now. So do you want to move on to that?
Yeah, Gundam G no Reconquista. And in the UK, this is available through Vimeo, where you can buy the entire season. Or individual episodes, I think, or through subscribing to Animax. And as I was not keen on doing either of those, I've not seen it. And is it Funimation in who's got it in the US?
We don't know.
You don't know. Nobody's got it in the US. Okay, that explains
nobody's
why
got
it
in
on
the
Hulu
US
either.
Well, recently, Right Stuff has made a deal with Sunrise where they're going to bring all the Gundam over to the U.S. They have the home media rights to that. That might include G no Reconquista, but I don't know for sure. My opinion of it, though, I did watch it using pirated means, is that it's messy, it's confusing, it's alienating, and even if I understood everything that's going on in this poorly directed, really weird, but not in a fun way show, I probably would find just a lot of familiar tropes and undercooked Tamino ideas that are poorly explained in the first place. I don't think it's a good show. It's probably my biggest disappointment for the season, because I like the look of it. I like a lot of the robots that are in it. Brian, however, you might enjoy it, because everything I just said about Gundam G no Reconquista, I also said about Captain Earth.
Yeah, Captain Earth is... Yeah, it is all those things. if you're looking for an explanation of the things happening in that show, do not expect it by the end of the series. But do expect perhaps a movie to explain those things. I'm always toying with the idea about Captain Earth as whether it's some sort of is going to turn out to be some sort of Michael Moorcock Eternal Warrior, where it'll turn out that the Captain Earth is also a aspect of the same character from. Oh, what was the previous show they did together? The
one
with the masks.
Right, the one with all the fan service and the awesome masks and cool robots.
Yeah, I can't even remember.
Star Driver.
That's it. Yeah.
Star Driver. Point for Bradley.
Yes. I was just reading some stuff about Michael Moorcock this week. I thought, oh, I wonder if they're going to do. If it'll turn out that's what they've all been planning along. That they're just aspects of the same characters. Anyway, moving on to aspects of characters. Aspects of consoles turned into characters. It is High School Sega Girls, or High School Sega Hardware Girls, in which three games consoles are given the personifications of schoolgirls, and they go to school or university. I can't remember what it's supposed to be at the start of the series. And they're trying to earn 100 credits to graduate. And I really enjoy it. And I have no idea how it works for people too young to remember those consoles and the games they're referencing. And also, but having said that, later on they reference games I'm not aware of, and somebody just dropped out of the call.
Yeah, I like it quite a bit. It's made by the same group who did Gooda Gooda Fairies, and it has a little bit of that humor in it, especially when they're at the school and not in the video games. That said, there are some episodes in here that are real duds, especially the episode that featured Sonic.
Oh, I like that.
It was just so dry. Really?
Yeah. Went through my mind when he showed up. Oh, it's the big man himself. Sonic's turned up.
Oh, my God. It was so dry. It just felt like, here's no jokes. We're just going to have Sonic in an episode.
Yeah.
What the heck?
That was enough for me.
Is it a reference, or is it Sonic?
It is Sonic. There. Yes, he's fighting Eggman.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
And he doesn't say
all
word.
Right, well, I look forward to finding out Brian's stash of Sonic fan art sometime.
My favourite really joke, though, is the dwarf out of Golden Axe.
Yes.
Oh, is he in it?
He is. He's a recurring character. Yes. They constantly think that Saturn's in love with him.
I need to check this show out as well.
Okay, next up, I've got my list is slightly out of alphabetical order, because I give it the name Crunchyroll have given it now. When Supernatural Battles Become Commonplace, and this is the Trigger show. I watched the first episode, it has great production, but it is so full of otaku-targeted light novel crap that I've watched no more episodes of it. Bradley, what do you think?
I don't think it's any good. It has pretty good production. By far was definitely not the best produced thing this season. But it's just an obvious idea with characters who are stale tropes. And there's a self-insertion harem fantasy that's a key element to the story as well. I hated it, honestly. It was boring.
But you give us that gif on which people put on Tumblr of that one character telling the main character off about talking in otaku speak all the time. And how she doesn't understand a word he's saying. Okay, next up is Mysterious Joker, which I would say is the most slept-on show of this season. There is barely ever any comments on it on Crunchyroll. It lingers near the bottom of the popularity. But I just really love it. As I mentioned on the previous episode, it has great writing from Dai Sato and Kimiko Ueno. I try and get people to watch it by telling it's got Space Dandy people on it. There's one episode's got Space Dandy director on it. And I think next to Yo-Kai Watch, it's the second best kids show of the year. And check it out. I really like this character of Silverheart, the old Phantom Thief who's trained all these other Phantom Thieves and will break the fourth wall to hit on your mother.
All right, I'm going to watch this. I promise you, Brian, I'm going to watch this, and if you're interested, we'll podcast about it together finish it.
Yes, at least get through to the second episode. The first episode is a lot of setup, but the second episode is where it really starts to fly.
Okay.
Who's the little ninja? Who's the little ninja character?
Hachi, he's Joker's sidekick.
I like him. He looks fine, but I don't know about the rest.
Everybody has a sidekick in it, pretty much, which is a lot of fun. Next up is Log Horizon Season 2. I tried to rush through Season 1 before it started, and I failed. Anyone else watch Log Horizon Season 2?
Why would I watch this?
I hear the production, because it's a different studio, some people weren't quite as happy with how the characters look compared to Season 1. But I have that to look forward to.
Do you, though? Will you watch this? I bet you don't.
I mean, it's quite possible.
I bet time progresses.
It was on my list of shows that I'll never get around to watching.
Exactly.
However, I did get round to watch the first episode of Lord Marksman and Vanadis, which I would say has the most excessive names of the season. Maybe Bradley can correct me with the Gundam show, whether they're more excessive than Elenara Viltaria, is one main character. Tigra Vermund Vaughn.
That's only two people. That's not two different people. Yes. Right.
And Lord Zion Thenardia. To be fair, the first two characters do actually comment on how long their names are in the first episode. And it is like Game of Thrones if the main characters were anime teenagers. So the first half is sort of semi-serious. The first half of the first episode is semi-serious fantasy politics. And the second half really just sort of throws in the light novel adaptation nonsense, like bouncing boobs, people getting embarrassed seeing other people naked, all that jazz.
So is it good?
it's not as bad. It's better than Queen's Blade, let's say that.
Oh, well.
It is decently directed.
Wait, how many episodes of this series have you seen?
I've seen one.
So okay.
Based on so one, it's much more tolerable than the first episode of Queen's Blade is. It has a direction, which Queen's Blade was sorely lacking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing you compare it to the most, because it's basically the main... There's like seven female warriors who are the main characters, along with a count who was on the other side of the army, and he gets captured in the first episode and held for ransom.
Okay.
Because apparently one of them fell in love at first sight with him.
Oh.
Like I said, you start getting all the light novel shit in the second half of the first episode. Next up, so nobody else watched that, just me.
No.
Magical Kaito 1412. This wasn't streamed anywhere, so I had to watch a fan sub of the first episode, and it is shit. A1 Pictures make you realise what a good job TMS do with Conan. The story's not great, but the animation's worse. I assume all the scheduling was pitched towards Seven Deadly Sins from A1 Pictures. I believe they did that as well. And that show does not have the same problem.
No.
Next on our list was More Mushishi. Did anyone watch this?
No. Every year, every time it's back again, I'm like, yeah, this is the season I watch it. And then, you know, I just don't have the time. It's unfortunate, but one day... On my list of things to watch, this is it. Everyone just makes out like it's great, so why the heck not?
Oh, it is great.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. In some ways, I sometimes feel like me sitting down to finally watch Mushishi is a bit like forcing myself to eat my vegetables. It's a good series. It's just not often a series I'm in the mood for because it can be so sedate and slow and have a distinct dearth of cute girls in it.
And funny monsters. The monsters
and funny great. Monsters. No funny monsters. No robots. There's no robots fighting.
Okay, next thing I want to talk about was One Piece, which I've been watching week in, week out.
How do you do it?
Going through the Dressrosa. Well, I wake up Sunday morning, I hit the VPN to pretend to be American, and then watch it on Crunchyroll. That's how I do it, Anthony. And also, I follow the comics, so I already know I don't have to worry about missing an episode.
Oh, that's always a good, a positive.
At the moment, about two out of the four episodes tend to look great in terms of animation quality. They really stretch things out in some places. They'd like to take a fight in the comic, which happens in the background on monitor screens, and they get an entire episode out of that.
Is that not frustrating for you?
No, it's good, because you didn't really get to see that fight.
Oh, that's a good point,
As long as those episodes are the ones where they've scheduled decent enough time to produce some good animation, then that's fine. And there was one episode I wanted to mention where there's a character introduced who 90% of the people watching will know who he is, but they edited his introduction in like scrolling up to his face and then cutting or editing at the moment where you'd see who it was. Even though you've probably been reading the comic and you've seen his face on covers and volumes of it already, so... But Bradley won't, so...
Don't want to spoil that.
I don't want to spoil it for Bradley. Who it is.
Oh, I look forward to the adventures of Lucy. Was That's that who Lucy, you talked about yes. last time? Yes, okay. Right. He or she sounds like a great new character who I'm going to love watching whatever their antics are.
Yeah, that wasn't the person I was talking about who they teased the identity of. It was ridiculous, though. When you get to it, you'll know who it is, and you'll be going, what the hell are they doing? Okay, next up is Parasite. The only thing I disliked about this show is they cut the chapter from the comic where the lion does the voiceover. You know, when Mr. A goes to attack the school, there's a chapter before that where he goes to a zoo and fights a lion, and you get the scene that scene takes place in from the point of view of the lion, so you get like the voiceover of the lion.
What kind of voice would you have wanted for it?
I don't know. Well, who knows?
Never know.
Norio Wakamoto, obviously.
Actually, yes, that would have been perfect for a lion's voice. So, what do you guys think of Parasite?
Oh, I think it's brilliant. I mean, I watched a huge chunk of it and then put it to one side. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to chunk out this every time I can. And I've not got around to doing it again. But I don't know, it just really appeals to me. I like the main character and I like his little friend. And it's creepy as hell. I still kind of cringe at just the idea of having this appendage that's not you on your body. It's cool, though. I like it a lot.
It's a really original twist on a very familiar story. I love it thoroughly. And it's a really good adaptation, too. The animation's really good. The pacing in the story so far has just been close to perfect. I think it's going to definitely be one of those series we're going to have really good memories of, and we'll probably talk about it more at the end of the year in 2015.
Yeah,
I like how the big change they made is the character design of the main character. And I like how he's slowly turning into the character design from the comic. And I think that's part of the reason why they cut the chapter of the lion out, is he's a little too badass already in that early chapter.
Oh, right, I see.
And you're slowly seeing him become more badass or cold, or his personality definitely gradually changes, and they sort of convey that well in his character design changing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Psychopass 2. Anybody watch this?
The thing is, I loved the first season, and then I was kind
of
excited.
Did you finish the first season?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
And it's hefty, shall we say. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on. And when I heard negative things about this, I was like, why would I want to ruin such a great series by watching this mediocre sequential events? I don't know what happened, I don't know how it carries on or any sorts, but I thought, why put myself through it? Just, I'm happy how it is. I know there's a movie out soon, I think. I don't know when the exact date is, but I don't know what that's going to cover. But no, I'm fine with season one. Thank you very much, Psycho Pass.
I saw the first episode. I liked the first episode well enough. But I have heard, that the series becomes disastrously bad in subsequent episodes. So
it's a shame. It's a shame.
Next I'm not surprised, though. So
No. Yeah.
And obviously, I didn't like the first season, so what am I going to watch the second season of something everyone says is worse? Ronia the Robber's Daughter was next, the Studio Ghibli show. And I watched the first half of the first episode, because it's a double-length first episode.
It definitely is.
And I thought it had nice character designs, but they're often stiff and inexpressive, especially on the characters who are obviously only going to appear once this episode. And I don't know if the colour scheme they've chosen works for it. It's not. Yeah, it's a little disappointing.
I watched the full double bill, and it is a long watch. They really drag the feet with just setting her up as going on this adventure. It takes the full, because it feels like a long time. And it's very dull at times. It's just them building up this kind of, this family, this castle of people. And then it starts getting its ball rolling, but I've not felt the urge to watch any more.
Yeah, I'm curious as to whether the robbers wore masks in the book or whether that was just a choice to have less facial animation to do.
I want to love this because I find it quite charming, but I don't know, maybe watching two episodes off the trot as a double bill is tough going with this one. But it shouldn't be, so perhaps that in itself is testament that it's not going to be that good of a show, unfortunately.
Did you see any Bradley of this?
No, I didn't. It hasn't been licensed yet, so...
No. I suspect it'll be dubbed and licensed as well when it eventually happens. And I'll be interested to see it dubbed as well. Maybe that would give it a slightly different tone.
Possibly.
May help the animation. Next up is Seven Deadly Sins, a show I've been regularly watching. Again, it has to be fan-subbed because no one's picked it up or it's too expensive to pick up. And it took me 5 episodes to realise it's a riff on Arthurian legends, which I felt an idiot once I realised that. And I would say my excuse is that it is also riffing on so many other things, like Dragon Ball, Ninku, Full Metal Alchemist.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot of fun. It's another fantasy show. There's a lot of fantasy shows this season.
Hell of a lot.
More shonen, obviously, with those influences. And it's about these 7 knights who are blamed for killing the head knight. And they've gone missing, and one of them turns up and helps the daughter of the king who's been overthrown. And they're trying to reunite all the 7 deadly sins.
And it is awesome. I started watching this today, and I've watched, I think, 6 episodes already. I just watched it back to back. I just couldn't stop watching it. I love how strong all the 7 deadly sins are, at least the ones that we've seen so far. And I just like that. I like that shonen style of these guys who are just so powerful. And it's cool. I like the main character. And I don't know whether I should spoil it. It's kind of obvious from the first episode that... Should I spoil it?
I haven't seen it yet. Okay. I kind of plan to, so...
Right. I'll not say it, but it's probably quite obvious when you think about it. But I like that. It kind of caught me off guard. I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
I've watched it. I have no idea what he's talking about.
What do you mean?
What are you going to... I don't even know what...
I don't want to say... Spoil. I mean, there's not a, it's not a huge twist as such. It's just a reveal. It could well be midway through the first episode, I forget. But
I have literally no idea what you're talking about.
You must do. Yeah, I'm not saying anything, but the 7 deadly sins are cool as hell. I like how they've all got their own very distinct personality, at least from what I've seen so far. And I think it's going to weigh up to be a really good show that I'm going to definitely stick with.
And it's also quite funny how they don't look anything like their wanted posters.
Yes, yes. It's good. I like it.
Another fantasy show, Rage of Bahamut Genesis. This is the best show that we're in this season.
I called it. If you remember, I called this. I called it.
There's one episode I didn't like. That's the introduction of the Necromancer, which reminded
which
me of...
I really liked.
It just seemed like I was watching somebody play D&D. In that it was so obvious, everything which was going to happen. But watching those, you can rip those ideas off all your D&D games.
Yeah.
And, yeah, when I was going through these, I was like, oh, Funimation picked up all the big fantasy... Well, I think only mainly fantasy shows. They got this, they got Garrow, they got Lord Marksman. I was just wondering whether that is a Game of Thrones effect, that people are looking for those
well
fantasy
be, yeah.
shows,
yeah.
particularly to put on Hulu.
It could be, but fantasy anime has always been really popular in America. Even if Game of Thrones wasn't as big as it is now, I suspect that they still would have licensed exactly what they licensed for streaming.
Mm-hmm.
These are all good choices. In some ways I kind of feel like part of the reason this is popular is because it's filled with Western fantasy tropes that we recognize instead of anime fantasy tropes.
Hey, to be fair though. There are so many Joan of Arcs in anime and manga that it is pretty much an anime and manga fantasy trope as well.
That is true. That is true. But it is a really fun show to watch. I've only seen the first 2 episodes, though. I'm probably going to watch the rest like in one sitting once it finishes.
I think this show is perfect. It's the number one. I called it last time we did this. I was like, yeah, this is going to be the show. And to think we've got this and 7 Deadly Sins, which I also love, back to back, I think this has been a cracking season. Just for Bahamut and Seven Deadly Sins alone.
Yeah. For those people who haven't seen Seven Deadly Sins, I would say Regi Bahamut Genesis is miles better than Seven Deadly Sins.
See, I wouldn't necessarily say so.
But Seven Deadly, really, I mean, in terms of production and writing, Seven Deadly Sins, though, if you like shonen shows, it is great. And I think a good sign of a shonen show is that Anthony watched 6 episodes in a row. Because that's how I got started on One Piece. That's how I knew One Piece was great. Because I was like, watch an episode, I've got to watch another one. And that's what gets you hooked.
Yeah, Regi Bahamut, like, I'm not going to undersell it with Seven Deadly Sins, but, well, I'm not going to. I think it's the best show. It's fun. The characters look great. I love the voice acting.
It's so great they had to take a recap episode 7 episodes in.
Which I didn't watch.
No.
Obviously. I'm not strange, but good stuff. Very good stuff.
I really like the Joan of Arc character, the demon girl.
No, that's not the Joan of Arc character.
Oh,
okay.
I think she's called Jeanne. Or
she's the one who's basically called Joan of Arc.
Yeah. You'll see her shortly.
Yeah, I think she might be in the credits. Okay. It's the blonde woman in armor in the credits, if she's there already.
I really like the demon girl, and I really like the rogues. It's, the character's made a strong impression on me, so...
Yeah, and I think she's also part of an army here called the Knights of Orleans, if you just didn't quite get the Joan of Arc reference already.
How long is this running for? Because I don't have much scope as to when to expect a conclusion.
Idea. 2 core. So it'll run for 24 episodes or thereabouts.
Depending on if they have to take more breaks.
Oh, that's
well, true. I think it's split core. So we'll see a continuation of it in the spring.
It's moving well. Like, each episode really does progress the story. And I don't know. It's the dogs. The dog's nuts, shall we say.
Sorry. Wait, what?
If you will.
You know, have you never heard
is
of...
That...
It's the dog's bollocks. No. He's cleaning it up for you.
Yeah. I'm not a monster. Okay.
Though he should really have said the mutt's nuts, but he started saying dogs, and then he stuck.
I was stuck with me.
That's not a thing Anthony made up. People really say that.
Yes.
Yeah,
something which is great is referred to as being the dog's bollocks.
Oh, my God. Oh, I've been watching a lot of cultural exports from the United Kingdom recently, primarily your football, but I have never heard that.
Oh, you'll not hear that on the football.
No. We might hear it from players, or probably worse from the players. Yeah. The bikes. Too close, or even from the fans if the mic's too close to them. That's always good when you're listening to the radio and they're broadcasting from right among the fans on a Saturday afternoon and you could hear all sorts of foul language coming from them.
Yes. Let's move on to another good show, though.
Okie dokie. And that is Shirobako, which is a show I watched the first episode of, I thought was great, and then I had no idea when I was going to find the time to watch any more of it. Bradley, I take it you watched more than I did.
I watched 2 more episodes than you did. Oh. Gosh.
Almost up to date.
It's really good. It is an endearingly earnest take on working in the industry and the problems you face doing that. Gosh, I am so glad it didn't become a cynical or parody-heavy show. I like the tone. I love the characters. I feel like I'm learning a lot while I watch this. It's just really good. And I think because it's Mizushima, right, the guy just consistently turns in great stuff. Even when everybody else disagrees with me about how great, say, Bloodsea is, it's still a great show. Trust me.
Yeah, it's Michiko Yokote as well writing it. And when they're together, that's always the best. She brings the best out of him.
Mm-hmm. And the producer apparently is strongly behind this as well. They had apparently concocted this idea back when Mizushima was working on a similar show that the producer had produced for him. I can't remember which one, but I'd been reading up on some of the history of this show. I love it.
It's not the OAV about the model-making girls, is it?
No.
That's not similar in the slightest, but it starts off, you'd think that was going to be that sort of show when the episode starts, which is the best thing about the first episode, is the swerve it gives you of thinking, oh, this is going to be a cute teenage girls doing cute things, one pretending to be animators, and then it quickly fast forwards you to after they've graduated, and you actually get to see that sort of character grown up.
That, yeah, it makes for a fascinating contrast between their ideals of what they think the anime industry is going to be like and then the mundane reality that they face. And it helps that right now, like, I'm in a new job, I'm just starting my career, so I relate heavily to these characters. Like, there is so much that they're going through that I'm like, man, this is exactly what I'm doing. I love it. I'll probably talk about it more at the end of the year in 2015.
Anthony, did you watch any of it?
No, I didn't.
I told him to.
No, you didn't?
I did, yes.
When?
A while back, I sent you a tweet.
Oh, you should.
I'm sure I sent you a message somewhere to watch it, yes. Because I said, you should watch it because Bradley's going to have watched it and it'll be one of his favourites.
Oh, apologies.
Okay. Next up is Terraformers, which I did not watch because I didn't want to give anything that boneheadedly racist my time. Anthony, did you watch this?
Yeah, I did. I watched, I think, 3 episodes, maybe. And it's dull. It's flat.
You went over it in the last episode, so we went.
Yeah, but, yeah.
World Trigger. I can't remember who picked it. It definitely wasn't me, but I watched the first episode. Did anyone else watch it?
I don't think anyone picked this.
No, you did, Anthony. I remember
the list. Yeah, I made this list.
Well, I have my list that I had back then. Let's have a quick look.
Let's not. Anyway, I watched the first episode. Nothing. I don't like the comic. I find the comic very bland. Nothing really grabs you in the first episode. But I did like it more than the comic, in that it's coloured in. You can tell the characters apart a bit better when they're coloured in. But there are some pretty embarrassing shots to put on your debut episode of a show.
In what way?
Just sort of incompetent. Like, who let this pass?
What's it even about? Because I keep seeing it in...
It is about creatures from another dimension invading Earth and a sort of a special border patrol set up to keep them out or to kill them when they come through. And in the first episode, there's this mysterious kid who turns up at school, and he's got a robot with him who looks like... I can't remember the name of the robot. The one who accompanies Booster Gold from DC Comics. But black rather than gold. And he appears to be from another world because he doesn't understand Japanese customs.
Yeah.
And he helps out when there's an invasion. And he's also got one of the powers, these triggers that the Border Defense has, because this kid who he helps out turns out to be part of the Border Patrol. Mm-hmm. And he's got a super powerful one of these triggers, and he says, oh, I was told to come to Japan by my dad, because one of his friends works at Border. And he goes, oh, you've come all the way to Japan. That's a long way to come. He says, oh, no, I've come from another dimension. I'm one of these neighbors, which is what they call the extra-dimensional beings. And that's the end of the first episode.
Is it action-packed?
It has action. I wouldn't say it's packed with action, but there is action in it.
Yeah. Perhaps I'll go and watch it. Obviously, I'm not going to catch up reading it, so might as well give it a blast at some point.
There's other things you can spend your time watching rather than that.
Yeah.
Next on the list, which I added, which I think Bradley is very disappointed, disagreeing opinions with me.
Strongly, yeah.
So this is in the top 10 of the Crunchyroll shows. And it is, I can't understand what my husband is saying. And I watched the first episode, and I thought I should have watched this from the start. It's a bit like Insufficient Direction, but it doesn't have the autobiography aspect, but it is so dense with gags. It's obviously a four-panel strip, you can tell just by how it delivers the gags. But they come very fast in the 3 minutes. Bradley, opposing views, please.
Sure, they come very fast, but none of them are interesting or clever or even funny. This feels like the most obvious take on the idea of, oh, I married an otaku and now I have to adjust to what it's like to have my husband be that thing. I really liked Insufficient Direction, actually. I read the manga quite recently, and it felt like it was very nuanced. It was very personal. I came out loving Miyoko Ano, honestly, more than I did her husband because of the many contradictions she had within her and kind of her internal struggle to be a to be a better person and not just give in to the otaku impulses all the time, but how her husband and her love for her husband kind of drags the worst bits of otaku, or probably just the most childish bits, out of her. It's a really interesting dynamic to read. I don't have much to say about I Can't Understand My Husband Is Sane in contrast to Insufficient Direction. It doesn't have that nuance. It doesn't have
that Insufficient Direction is definitely a better show, but this has more gags.
They're not good gags. Well,
I said it had more gags. I didn't say it had good gags. And for me, a 3-minute show, I like having lots of gags, because that way it doesn't matter if some are bad, because another one might come along which is good. And actually the animation is better than the Insufficient Direction cartoon.
Okay.
Because Insufficient Direction cartoon is done by the Frogman studio. Thankfully, it's not Frogman himself, so it's better than anything he's done. But it is very limited flash animation.
How does he keep getting work?
I don't know, because his stuff's sold, I think, and he's probably cheap.
Oh my god. Give it to the TQ people.
But give it to Akitara Daiichi, even better.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Right. A few other things Bradley has put down here before we move on to what we're looking forward to for winter. Kamen Rider Drive.
Oh, I was going to save that for last on my list, but you want to talk about that real quick?
Yeah, it's not a cartoon. It's great.
It isn't, but it is, like, textually, it feels like a cartoon, doesn't it?
It does, and I like the fact that all the characters are adults, and also all the actors are adults, which is an improvement on other of these shows.
Well, if you only watch anime all the time, sure, it can feel refreshingly
different. I know, but even tokusatsu things, you look at the ages of some of the actors and you go, why are you being made to do this? Can't they find an 18-year-old to do this instead?
I love Kamen Rider Drive. It is closer to the silliness of Fours, but it still has some heft to the action. There's some pretty badass concepts in there. I'm probably going to finish this one. I have a hard time finishing tokusatsu series, as my trailing off on the Train Sentai series is evidence of. But I really like Sentai. I think that's kind of been a revelation for me this year, is how much I enjoy watching tokusatsu live action series. And I would like to dig more into that. So in addition to the new Ultraman, or rather the old Ultraman series that Crunchyroll licensed, I'll probably be trying to finish Kamen Rider Drive.
The trailer for the Tokyuga and Kyu Ranger, Kyu Ryuga rather, crossover movie went up. It's on Anime News Network today when we're recording it, and it's really good. It is. It has. It just sort of goes with the logic of how different the personalities of the two teams are. So when the Kyu Rangers do their posing, or Kyurugas do their posing, and the huge explosion goes off, it ends up blowing up the other team.
Oh my gosh. I really look forward into digging more into tokusatsu. Let's move on, though.
Okay, what else you got?
I got, three more series, one of which I haven't seen a single episode of. I'm going to mention it anyway because it's getting such amazing press. I feel like it would be a disservice to the listeners if I did not make you aware of this. So let's talk about Your Lie in April. Haven't seen any of it, but I hear fantastic things about it. It almost sounds like a return to the form we expected of Noi Tamina, right? The series that could not air anywhere else, that deals with subject matter that anime doesn't normally deal with. It's supposed to be emotionally complex, very engrossing, just a really good series overall. I've already committed to podcasting about it, so I will watch it. You will hear more from me about it, but it's also 24 episodes long, so it'll be a while before I get to it. Hopefully it's as good as I hear. The other two are the Moe series that nobody else on this podcast would actually watch. The first one I'll talk about is Celestial Method. Celestial Method is kind of weird in a way that I don't think other people are aware that it's weird, because it's about middle schoolers who act like they have the history with each other that you would expect if they did the thing that they did when they were 7 and then they meet up again when they're in their 20s, right? there's this kind of story trope where children share a past, they do a thing, that thing ends up shaping their lives forever, and then they revisit that thing as adults. We saw something similar with, I can't remember the name of that flower that we saw a long time ago. That's really the name of the cartoon, by the way. It's normally called something else. But anyway, it's that same story with added adorableness. God damn, this is an adorable cartoon. But also, all the characters are like 10 years old. So they did this thing when they were elementary school children, let's say 6. And then they forget who each other are 3 years later? That doesn't make sense at all. God, it's so tonally weird. It's one of those Moe series where it's like, okay, so your characters look like they're this young, and you say they're this young, but there's no way that their storyline makes sense unless you pretend that they're much older. Anyway.
Okay.
And finally, yeah, like...
We're rushing off to watch that.
I'm sure. No, it's not something I would really recommend unless you're into the subject matter, I guess, of tragic Moe girls. It's in that genre. Speaking of tragic Moe girls, you know how Evangelion got a lot of knockoffs several years after it finished airing? Well, we finally have our Madoka Magica knockoff. It's called Uni Yuna is a Hero. It's incredibly similar, and it's hard to appreciate on its own merits because it just hews so closely to a similar narrative. Yeah, not recommended, but I did watch several episodes of it. I gave it its time, and just there's not much to recommend it.
You could have spent that time watching more episodes of Shirobako.
So many good series I could have seen instead. Yes, I'm fully aware of that.
Righty-ho, let's see what's cool for winter. What are our picks? Well, it looks like... Oh, yeah. I made some picks. Then I'll go through mine. Anthony can add anything he wants to add. And then Bradley can add his weird Moe things he's picked. Right.
No, you have to understand. These aren't so much my picks as my additions. I'm going to watch everything you're watching.
Oh, of course. But I'm sure you are. Yes. So first on my list is Assassination Classroom finally arrives in animation form, which isn't an OAV from Jump Festa. And I was mainly hoping that if it got streamed, that Viz would add it to Weekly Shonen Jump, but they went one better and they've started releasing the volumes of the comic anyway.
Nice.
So I shall start. Even if the anime's crap, I'll at least get to read the comic. With its really... I love the cover design on those volumes. They're all different versions of the alien's face.
Oh, awesome.
In solid colours. So they'll look absolutely great on your shelf and to read them. People will go, oh, what's that? And you go, it's this show about an alien who's training school children to kill him before he destroys the Earth.
I mean, you could also just say, oh, that's ass class.
Oh, yeah, oh, boy,
you
yes.
You could.
Go, hashtag ass class is going to be coming, isn't it? Ooh, maybe I've gone off it now. Oh, dear.
I like it more.
Oh, the 2015 award for Elliot Page's Memorial Best Butt Award goes to...
I don't think he's got a butt, because he's just a head with loads of tentacles, I believe. I think he's buttless. Anyone
I think
else
it's
looking forward
be
to it?
Oh, yes. I've heard a lot.
Yes.
I can't think who from, but I'm sure I've heard people mention it. And I just like the premise. If it's funny, and I mean, the characters look cool, the teacher looks pretty funny as well. I just like this design. It looks great.
Yeah, and Brain Space is normally very solid, so I'm really looking forward to this.
Well, you say that. Unfortunately, all the people I'd relate to Brain Space being very solid have got their own studio, and they're working on the next show on my list.
All right.
So the next show on my list is the new season of Do Ra 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 Ra. And I was worried that it wasn't Brain's Base, but then I looked at the staff, and it's pretty much the same staff, just at a different studio. Ooh. And so I'm thinking, oh, maybe Brain's Base aren't the surefire thing. Because there's the director who has done loads of the Brain Base stuff, who I always associate as being the guy.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Takahiro Amori. So he's still doing that. But it's okay. No longer at Brain Space. And it's the same screenwriter as well. So, this trailer didn't look super super exciting, but and I'm also hoping the other books are a bit better than the second half of the previous TV show, because I really like the first 13 episodes of the first season, and the second half was not so good. But we will see. How about you guys? Are you rah-rah-rah-rah fans?
Yes, I am. I'm a bigger fan of Baccano, but rah-rah-rah, I'm very happy to have more of it. I think my opinion mirrors yours. I thought the second half of the first season was underwhelming. But I loved everything else about it so much that I'm really hyped for another season. I didn't think we'd get that.
Yeah, the problem with that second half is it hinges on one of those misunderstandings which could be resolved in minutes if characters just talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sort of the worst writing.
Well, it's worse if it's not a comedy. This isn't a comedy.
Yeah, that is true.
I tried to watch this, but my environment of an anime club and people talking through it, the first series, completely ruined.
It would be pretty hard to follow the first half with people talking through it.
Exactly. And what I saw, I was like, yes, this looks good, but please shut up. And I've not had a chance to watch it since. So obviously I'm not going to go into series two before watching series one, especially something like this.
The next big one for us is JoJo's Bizarre Adventures, Stardust Crusaders Part 2. So the question is, Anthony, have you been spoilt on Iggy yet?
On who?
Have you been spoilt on the identity of Iggy yet?
No. I've probably seen stuff around and just... I like to kind of take things with a pinch of salt when possible, so...
Okay.
No, don't look it up. I want to hear your reaction on the podcast.
I've not touched
anything.
As unsullied
as possible.
Unsullied. Well, no fears there, because I will keep things clean.
But yes, let's go, JoJo. We'll be back. We'll be covering it on that.
I'm looking forward to both the series and the podcast picking up again. That was always a highlight of my week.
Good. It was for us as well. It was, it was just so good to come home because of the timing. It was, for me at least, it was always on the moment I got home from work.
Same. Mm-hmm.
Watch the episode, do the podcast, bang.
Have a chat on Skype about it and just have to record it.
Or in some cases, just have to wait for Niall to come back from his hellish non-paying job. The entertainment industry. Next up is Yoro no Yataman, which I have written down as Yataman Crowds. It's Yataman given a sort of postmodern look with the bad guys as the lead characters by the sounds of things. Unfortunately, as we're recording, really sparse on production details of who's actually directing and writing it. But the design stuff looks great.
I'm hyped. I mean, you say this one has the villains as the heroes this time around, but I contend that in Yatterman, the villains have always been the true heroes. So this is only correcting and making obvious what the audience has always known.
Well, exactly. They are obviously the key thing from Yatterman and that entire Time Bokan series, because they are the most inspirational characters from it. So many people have copied those characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be really interesting to see people watch it for the first time who don't know Yatterman and make Team Rocket comparisons. Because I just know that's coming.
Yeah, saying they're Team Rocket ripoffs. By the way, if you haven't seen any Yatterman, a lot of the first series is still on Anime Souls. So check that out. It's fun. It's easy to watch. It's definitely a great series to watch as you unwind at the end of the day.
But if you're not in America, you will have to VPN in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, probably.
Because it is geo-blocked. Yeah, it was when they were doing their crowdsourcing, it was like, oh, there's loads of things I'd really like to get, but, oh, you don't want my money? Fair enough, right? Sod you, then. Are you familiar with that at all, Yoro no Yataman, Anthony?
I know very, very little about it. I did look at it, and then I thought, well, I don't know enough about it to solidly say I'm going to watch it.
Yeah,
so.
I think it'll work for not being familiar with Yatterman, by the sounds of things.
Just because it's not on my list doesn't mean to say I definitely won't watch it, but it's not my radar quite yet.
We've got season two of Kamisama Kiss, which I've still not finished watching the first season, but it is more Akitara Daiichi, which I'm always a fan of, and the trailer looks really good. In fact,
I watched the first season.
It looks pretty neat.
Yeah, sorry to cut you off again there. I've been really bad about that today. I really liked the first season. I'm not entirely sure I'm down for a second, but honestly, you know, the more I think about it, I think I'll definitely watch this.
It's definitely preferable to Year of the Show, which we mentioned earlier, Guguru Kokori-san.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Next on my list, I've got Yurikuma Arashi. Ikuhara is back with, I think, only 13 episodes this time, not 26. And Anthony, you can watch it weekly without worrying about having to take notes.
I will be watching this. I will be watching this. It's got bears instead of penguins.
And the trailer, it's obviously distinctively him, and it looks great, and it's weird. Lesbian bears, sort of androgynous bear court as well, which isn't really in the trailer, but I've seen the character designs for. I really don't know what to expect, apart from it being good.
Yeah, I'll give it that.
Bradley, are you excited? Are you
Absolutely, yes. I'm a big Ikuhara fan, especially of Revolutionary Girl Utena. It is weird, though, to see a lot of people who can be pretty, let's say, a bit prissy about fan service in their cartoons get really excited about a series that looks like it's going to have oodles of totally non-redemptive Yuri fan service. Honestly, like Ikuhara said, for one of the character designs, he said, I gave it big breasts so that I could have one of those mouse pads with the big breasts on it for one of my characters.
Hey, this is being honest. That's the best thing.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Next on my list, I've got Death Parade, which is the Death Billiards spin-off TV show. And I jokingly tweeted that I was hoping it would have other death pub games taking place, and then a few hours later the trailer came out, and indeed it has death darts apparently in the first episode.
Ooh. Nice.
So I was pleased that I was so spot on in my predictions. I hope there'll be other different sorts of games in each episode, and I wonder if it'll be whether there'll be an ongoing story or whether it'll be very much like that sort of anthology of looking into the backgrounds of each of the two people who have to face off in these different bars, because they have said in the production notes that there's going to be different bars in this building rather than just the one you've seen in Death Billiards.
Nice.
I think it sounds really good, actually. I think it's going to be a one for me, providing it's well written and the kind of the characters' backgrounds are interesting enough for me to care if they live or die, because I presume that's the plot, isn't it? They either live or die, these two.
Isn't it their souls go up or down?
Is that where it is? Right, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think this would be a good one. Definitely.
So I was underwhelmed by the short that was made for Anime Mirai of this, but I'm still looking forward to Death Parade because it's a really cool concept.
It is, and it's the sort of thing which I think anime does well, but it doesn't do often enough.
Mm-hmm.
This sort of cosmic judgment shows. I don't know if you've seen any of Laughing Salesman.
No.
No,
I haven't.
No, I don't know if anyone's a fan. I know they subtitled a few episodes for the BBC, but for, like, educational purposes.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's well worth... It's like those sort of moral judgment from this... it's by one of the Dorimon creators.
Mm.
But, yeah, it has that sort of moral judgment type thing that, on a cosmic level, but not as cosmic as Death Parade is doing.
Mm.
Okay, next we've got, I've got at least, Doei Major D, which is a giant robot show about a sweet shop owner. Or maybe it's a food anime about a giant robot pilot. And it seems to have I've written down here, the cheap animation of today used to imitate the cheap animation of yesteryear. So it looks like Flash, but done in a way, or Flash equivalent, done in a way to imitate sort of 70s robot shows about a sweet shop owner who has a giant robot. And if there's anything which screams Brian, it's that.
It's definitely
yes.
It is definitely
Oh.
I take it I'm the only one who's got this on their must-see list.
I mean, the main character looks great. I love the look of him.
I think they put a trailer out of this ages ago, I think even before it was scheduled with a date of release. probably just to
say I'm looking forward to it. So
this idea. Okay, that was my choices. Anyone got anything else? Anthony? No.
I am dry. I thought it was really slim pickings.
There's a few shows which I'm really excited about. Which I think is better than lots of shows I'm sort of not sure about.
That is true, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's just, let's see what goes on in the mind of Bradley.
Well, this is the list of shows that I'm not sure about. The list you gave I thought was really good. A lot of these I am excited about. So let's cover the Moe series, because nobody else on this podcast is. This is my service, my sacrifice to you, the listeners.
Sacrifice.
Hey, well, okay, I'll tell you this. I am kind of excited for Rolling Girls, which it's one of those things where I saw the trailer and I thought, ooh, that actually looks really well animated and well produced. Perhaps it'll be a fun watch, even though I'm not entirely sure what it's about.
I was going to say, is it about? Because the descriptions are very vague.
Incredibly vague. I think it's cute girls doing biker gang things, but that might be my optimistic interpretation. Nobody knows what it's about, so. But if you want to see...
There's a comic out already. Surely somebody must know what it's about. There's two comics out which have been out since October.
I mean, I've been on this podcast for quite a while, right? And you know I never really research my picks. I should get better about doing that. But
I mean, when you look at the anime, though, it is just like these very vague descriptions, presumably a translation of the press release. I'm just really hoping that it has Limp Bizkit's role in as the theme tune.
I don't think it will, but you never know. You never know.
One of them wears a baseball cap, so it might happen.
Might as well, yeah.
One of them.
Yeah, another one of them wears a bikini, yeah. All right, also on the list... Kantai Collection. It's on the list just because I want to see what all the fuss is about. I don't expect this to be any good because the concept is a little weird and creepy considering the politics in Japan right now of kind of memorializing World War II as moments of Japanese heroism and kind of overlooking how it's a mark of great national shame and feeding that sense of heroism into a growing right wing that is becoming increasingly militaristic. So it's kind of weird and creepy that this is an incredibly popular game in Japan right now. But I'm going to try the first episode anyway, see if it's any good, see if I can see what all the fuss is about. There's a few more sequels that I'm looking forward to. I'll get to that in a minute. But the one other original series is, let's see if I can pronounce this correctly, Binnen Koko Chikyu Bobaoe Bu Love. I guarantee I butcher that, but Anthony, don't worry. I found your new favorite series. All the stuff you were originally excited for, forget that.
Forget it.
Forget it. This is a cute, magical boys cartoon.
This is the one?
That's the one. There you go. It's a perfect mashup of all the stuff you love, Anthony. Cute boys acting cutely as magical girls.
See, I've just added it to my list because I always refer back to the document to remind me to watch stuff. So, yeah, this is on the list. And I have things to say.
Pink wombat is there.
And a pink wombat, yes.
Best animal for next year. Best animal.
The artwork for it is pretty. It's
bad.
Like the boys. But it's funny how the boys are like seem varyingly okay with the way they're dressed up as they go down from the back to the front. Like the one at the back does not seem too happy. The next one is like wondering why he's not happy about it, and then the sort of increasing excitement as they get to the front of the picture.
Oh, I really hope this is good, but the trailer for this does look underwhelming in terms of production value. All right, so for sequels that I'm looking forward to, Idolmaster is getting a new series, but it doesn't have, or it isn't about the main Idolmaster girls. It's instead about the girls from the spinoff card game, and they're making a cartoon about it. So these are, I guess, the also-ran idols, the ones who they just drew a character design for, and now they have to make them more colorful. I'm not entirely convinced this is going to be any good, but I really liked Idolmaster, so I feel obligated to check this one out.
Is it
I don't
same,
know if it's the
same production crew or different people doing it?
If it is the same production crew, and I don't know if it is, then I have greater faith that it would be good, because I think the good production went a long way to make Idolmaster a good show. Next on the list is Kuro Bass Season 3. I think I mentioned a while back that I kind of dropped off the Kuroko basketball bandwagon, but the more I think about it, the more I'd really like to finish Season 2. If I do, I'll watch Season 3. I can almost guarantee it. Also on the list is Ald Noah, Season 2. This is probably a controversial pick. A lot of people don't like the first season, and they have legitimate grievances. I get where they're coming from. I just didn't think it was as bad as they made it out to be, and I'm curious to see where this show goes next. And finally on the list is the most important thing on this list. I'm surprised it didn't top anywhere else on the list, but I and my fantastic taste in cartoons understand that clearly the anime of the year is going to be, even though it doesn't have this title, Milky Holmes 3, hashtag True Detective Season 2. I'm excited about this one, and I'll tell you why. Because this is actually the fourth iteration we have of Milky Holmes. But the difference between this and the last iteration, this one is the same crew who did the first two seasons of Milky Holmes. So,
I'm wondering whether the actresses are going to be on at the January the 4th New Japan show at the Tokyo Dome. Because they had like a promo video on their YouTube channel with them talking about New Japan. And it was like the first thing which got negative, it was more dislikes than likes on it. And like all the comments going, why are these women talking about New Japan? And also it's weird when you look up all the actresses' ages, they're all like 29, early 30s. And they're behaving in a way which is very unbecoming for the actual ages they are.
That adds to the kind of desperate air of weirdness that permeates this entire cartoon.
It's because Milky is, for those who don't know, Bushiroad own Milky Holmes and also own New Japan Pro Wrestling. So there is occasional try to brand synergy they do. It's successful when it's the card fighter stuff with Okada coming to the ring with a dinosaur and a giant sword. That works, but the Milky Holmes stuff does not seem to have gone down so well. Particularly when year it was Momoiro Clover Z who were doing the promos. I think people are more okay with them than they are perhaps the Milky Holmes girls. Perhaps because Milky Holmes seems a bit like older women trying to pretend to be them.
Possibly. I think there's some element of detectives traditionally being a straightforward, very masculine thing, and then here's this moe interpretation of the same thing, but done much weirder than anybody would ever give a credit for, except me. Are you going to watch any of this, Brian?
Oh, we're going to watch some of it, because we're going to do an episode about Japan-related anime next year. So we'll at least watch one episode of Milky Holmes, along with an episode of Tiger Mask.
Good.
And there's various other things. The episode of One Piece where Minoru Suzuki shows up as himself, pretty much. Another weird Jushin Liger. We'll watch the first episode of that, because I've got a fan sub of that.
Isn't there only like one episode of Tiger Mask fan sub?
I think there's the first episode of the first season, and also there's the first episode of Tiger Mask 2 has been fan subbed.
Why not more? Because I've seen the original episode, and it's one of the best things I've ever seen compiled
into
one
anime
episode.
Souls is falling apart as we speak. That's
probably why. It's so good.
Well, who knows? One day, maybe Discotheque will license it. As they say, to license things you're never going to expect. Or maybe Bushiroad will become, New Japan will become so big in America that they'll release it themselves.
That would be great.
They do weird things, like send the Milky Holmes actresses over to the UK to launch Milky Holmes. That's what happened. They sent them to Hyper Japan to do a performance to launch the first season of Milky Holmes.
Oh, nobody has any idea what they're doing on this thing. I love it.
But periodically, is it Kandani, who's the head of Bushiroad, he'll do stuff which you question when in the country he's doing it, but it's obviously to get press back in Japan. It's like he did the first throw out of a baseball game in America. Because you know you can pay if you're a big enough company to throw the first
one. Really?
Yeah.
What was the game? Who was playing?
I can't remember who it was now. It was quite a while ago. And you questioned, why is he doing that? And he obviously, so he can get press that he did it back in Japan. Feasible thing in America. But it make, if you look like you're doing things outside of Japan, it helps your publicity in Japan.
Smart.
But what's his main card game? I can't remember. Card Fight Vanguard. You see that in all the game shops in the UK. So obviously doing something right. And I think that's it for the winter.
All right.
It's not too much stuff. I'm half expecting Assassination Classroom not to be any good in terms of an adaptation.
Time will tell.
The director is a guy who's done stuff I've loved and stuff I don't like, so I'm wondering whether it'll depend on... I mean, it's good material from what I've seen of it, so it may well be good. But I just wonder whether they'll rush through it just to do a quick season or whether it'll be an ongoing thing. That is always the problem with those Shonen Jump adaptations when they're not in it for the long run. You sometimes get an ending that's very disappointing. And while it's not Shonen Jump, I think Seven Deadly Sins has a really good cut-off point. So I think I know where that's going to cut off, and it'll be satisfying.
Okay.
Because they have actually, the arc they have actually finished in the comic. And so they can wrap everything up without having to worry about moving into the whatever the current arc is. But that's it. That's winter. That was and the autumn. So, Bradley, what do you have to plug?
So, I have a new podcast. I don't know if you've heard about that, if you ever listened to this podcast before. But I do have a new podcast called the Anime Now Podcast, where we review new anime that has finished quite recently. Recent episodes include Monthly Girls Nozaki-kun, Hanayamata, and the first season, or half, I guess, of Ald Noah Zero. If you enjoy this podcast, please check us out. I'm going to finagle my way into getting Brian to appear on a few episodes so we can talk excessively about the weird things that we like and nobody else bothers to watch.
Can you find this podcast on iTunes?
Yes, this podcast is on iTunes. We're also on Stitcher. And I also have a page dedicated to it on my website, thosedamncartoons.com.
I'll have to ask you a question about Stitcher after the end of the episode.
Okay.
Anthony, anything you want to plug?
I'm just on Twitter, which is Ant Ask You.
Any more Adventure Bastards coming up?
There's been a big standstill with kind of getting people at over Skype at one point in time. And so, yeah, there's a huge backlog of episodes, but just, yeah, nothing happening with them at the moment, unfortunately.
And I'm on Twitter at awesome_engine. And as always, you can find this podcast on dynamiteinthebrain.com, on facebook.com/dynamiteinthebrain, and on iTunes. So why not subscribe and write us a review so more people can find out about the magical boys that are Dynamite in the Brain. Goodbye.
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 Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.